Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum TV Room. My name is Captain Mike. I am your host here, your companion on this journey that we are doing here. This is a side bonus episode for the Heroes Asylum podcast. You can find us out there on heroesasylum.com. We also have a midnight movie review or midnight movie watch-along show that we do with myself and my co-host from Heroes Asylum, Kane. And we just break down all sorts of different movies, do watch-alongs, make fun of things, you know, just have a blast. But this is our bonus feature that we've been doing for Clone Wars, Star Wars, Clone Wars, for Season 7, the final season. And this is going to be for Episode 6, titled Deal, No Deal. And if anybody's been keeping up with the Clone Wars, and hopefully you guys have, right now, we're on Season 6. We're in the second episode of the Ahsoka Tano storyline or story arc. Some of us have affectionately been recalling this Ahsoka the Mechanic. And so it started off with the Bad Batch with Rex and Echo returning finally. We see Anakin and, you know, Obi-Wan. We see the old clone troops. But then this one is drifting into Ahsoka, and if you guys are not caught up, which I hope you are by listening to this, right now Ahsoka has left the Jedi Order. She's on her own. The episode before this, which was Without or With a Trace, and we get to meet Trace and Rafa, these two sisters that Trace is trying to help her out, to help Ahsoka out. Rafa is not too sure about her. They're both. Rafa's definitely shady. Rafa has her front for her business. They have a garage in the back, but then in the front is a laundromat. Oddly enough, though, if nobody has caught it, when you rewatch that episode, look in the background. The basic language that the most Star Wars languages use in the back actually says Calrissian. So maybe a hint to a family member from Lando. Lando would be too young at this point, I would believe, to have gotten this. But Rafa did make comment that she did get the laundromat from a gambling bet. So maybe there's a little gambling issue going on in the Calrissian family. But what we're going to do is we're going to jump right into the, like I said, episode 6, Deal, No Deal, where we pick up back again with Ahsoka in her storyline. And there's a lot of throwbacks and a lot of connections to other Star Wars movies. Not the big ones, though, which I'm really surprised that they definitely did a heavy connection here, which we really wanted to see when they delved into the level 1313, because level 1313 deals more with the underground, the underworld. And we're going to see some connections, and I'll point them out as we go along on our watch along here. And so let's go ahead and get Disney Plus queued up. If you guys don't have it yet, make sure you guys get it. All the Clone Wars are on here, Rebels, every single Star Wars show, except actually Solo, I believe, is not on here yet, but it will be shortly. And just go ahead and get it queued up to, again, Season 7, Episode 6. And we're going to go ahead and give a start right now with a 3, 2, 1, play. And of course, we're going to get in true Clone Wars fashion, the quote of the episode, which I love these quotes. Mistakes are valuable lessons, often learned too late, and no true words have been spoken. And of course, here we get a quick catch up on exactly kind of what I was just talking about, where Ahsoka has been, what happened the last episode. And we do see this being introduced to Trace and Rafa. And the last episode ended where they fixed some robots. Ahsoka was questionable on what they were fixing up, but they got some money. And basically, Trace just wants to fix her big ship that they're going to be working on here. If anybody notices Ahsoka's uniform, or not uniform, but outfit for right now, it's a bit of a mix between her Jedi and actually what we're going to see later in Rebels. If you guys actually look at it, it's kind of the similar color tones to what we're eventually going to see in Rebels, but it's not that Jedi uniform, because down here, they don't really believe in the Jedi and trust the Jedi because they don't get the news. And if anybody's really seen any of the Clone Wars, you've seen the conspiracy theories that Palpatine is actually pushing out, you know, putting out fake news. Imagine that, about the Jedi's not doing certain things. But as people are hearing these reports of the Jedi's not doing something, makes people believe, well, are they really doing it? Because, you know, that old saying, when there's smoke, there's fire. And it is fun that they do talk about Anakin, and you know, they actually ask her where did she learn to do what she does. You know, she makes a comment that it's Skywalker Academy, which honestly, it's not that far. It wasn't really the Jedi Academy. Now, what I did read about before, as they were kind of going through the story and building the story, they were actually going to make the Trace character male. We haven't seen, we've seen a hint of Ahsoka having a love interest in one of the earlier, not earlier, I want to say about a season or two ago on the Clone Wars. Like, there was somebody that she had, like, there were, you could see there was some tension between them. And they were originally going to do that with Trace, but they decided not to and just make it a story of just Ahsoka's growth and her trying to relearn her life without having to add in a love interest, which I'm kind of glad they did, to not, you know, we just don't need that storyline again. We've seen that, not in this before, but in, well, kind of in this, but, you know, if you look at the Obi-Wan and you look at Anakin's history. So it's good to see that didn't play out the way that they wanted to. Yeah, you never trust somebody that says, "I'll tell you once we're on our way," because yeah, there's a hitch to that, and hopefully we're going to see very quickly what that hitch is, and it's actually a very interesting twist and add on to this story. And like I said, that's going to be part of what connects us to another Star Wars story. If I haven't given you guys enough hints yet. Now, my thing is, I thought this ship was still needing, like, major repair before it can be, you know, skyworthy. And she just, like, adds, oh, yeah, we can just go ahead and leave now. And the way she was talking about the shipping having to get it fixed up, it just seemed like it was just way too quick for me. And the name Silver Angel, it is a reference to what Anakin spoke to Padme when they were first met about the angels. And we do see those angels actually in a early episode of the Clone Wars, where they actually go to the planet. And unfortunately, the planet is skipping my memory right now. Not exactly the prettiest ship in the Star Wars fleet. But I guess when we first saw the Millennium Falcon, she wasn't the prettiest thing either, so. Now, the scene coming up here is a really cool throwback. We've had, like, little replays of scenes from the Star Wars movies and series, but this one plays right into the Return of the Jedi, and I think it was almost shot for shot what happened. And yeah, you'll see here in a second. They're already talking about flying suspicious and things like that. So it is a reference to Return of the Jedi. And there's another reference that happens here that happened to tie in with that scene from Return of the Jedi with Han, Leia, Chewie, and Luke landing on the planet of Endor. And we know, you know, Vader senses Luke, and Luke senses Vader in turn. And there's a replay of that scene here coming up. Which is really interesting because, again, it just leads into that comment and that talk I've had before about how I've always viewed, and a lot of people do, viewed Ahsoka as the first Anakin or the first Skywalker child. And you see that connection happening right here. And if you also watch this movement, it's the same scene and same angle from when Vader walked over to the commander at that time. And this commander here is Wolf Alerin. He's been in Clone Wars, Rebels. He was actually even, the character was actually even in New Hope. He was one of the generals in the conference room when Vader chokes the guy, does the pinch choke. He is actually in there as well. So there's a direct tie and reference to him. I'm pretty sure what they tried to do is make him look like somebody that was already there. But I love the fact that they did that. They did that connection and then that throwback that they can, you know, that Vader had that moment again, or Anakin had that moment again of, you know, finding a pupil. Or his pupil or his son. And if anybody has had a child that, or themselves, I've done it myself before. When you're driving with your brakes on, we've all been where Trace is at right now. And if anybody remembers from Solo, the Star Wars story, this is Kessel. The Kessel run that we've heard so much about, and a lot of us were upset that wasn't exactly what we thought. This is where they're going. So it's kind of, a connection to another movie, another story within Star Wars. Which there's been a lot of people out there that have said that felt that the Star Wars didn't connect enough. And I just keep saying they give you enough. They show a thread of connection and then they build off another story off of that. This is that connection I always talked about that is great. Now what we're seeing really is the southern side of Kessel. This is a more lush, regal looking area. There is another side of Kessel that we'll see, the more northern hemisphere. Now, King Aruba has been mentioned before. In actually the Solo Star Wars movie, Solo, but the official guide. If nobody's ever picked up any of those official guides, they're really cool. They've got a wealth of extra information. You know, the soldiers that you see there, they will literally break down the soldier's outfit of what it does. Why are they dressed that way? You know, if there's a history behind it of, you know, during this battle, they thought that this was better. It's really great. And then the Solo story, the official guide for that, they speak of King Yarwa and just talk about how, you know, what he does, how he's there. And he's actually referenced in that, like I said, he was referenced in the Solo guide. So that definitely means he's ruler now and will continue to be ruler till Solo's time. We don't hear much about him after that after this moment or after the solo. So we're not too sure what happens to him then. But really, I mean, it's, again, a good throwback, a good nod. Granted, wasn't mentioned in Solo, but still is part of the story. Very, very much the same if you guys pick up like the guide to any of the most recent Star Wars movies, Rise of Skywalker. They really break down Exegol, and they explain what Exegol is and why, who were all those people. They didn't explain it in the movie. I don't know if they just didn't have enough time or what the gist was, but the official guides will really break down certain things that happened throughout the series and the movies, and they're always good to have. I've got most of them, and they do just add an extra level to the stories. And if I know everybody's complained about Star Wars being, oh, I've got to read this, why can't they just give it to me in the movies? Star Wars has never been that way, guys. Sorry to say that. Even going back to the original Star Wars, you had this original Star Wars, and then you had like the radio audio version actually had a little bit more meat to it, so you understood more things. You actually in that you actually had a storyline about Biggs and Luke and why they got along so well, and a little bit of their history, not just the little bit we got in the actual, you know, the movie. Again, movie can only take so long, but those visual guides and those official books will be a big help in helping everybody out understand more and just building the world. I like to get a big. Sometimes I like to see how the donuts are made. Sometimes I don't. That official guide gives me that chance to look and say, "Well, I want to know a little bit more about that character, or a little bit more about that ship." And they are talking about the spice. We've heard spice before. We do know Han Solo has been done spice running. We know Poe Dameron has also been a spice runner. Spice is a big part of the economy, especially in the Outer Rims. To just a little side note of that, the spice that they're talking about actually originated from, if anybody remembers, or if anybody has read Dune, and they, you know, they make the comment, you know, he who controls the spice controls the universe. That's a very similar thing here. It's not the same spice or anything like that, but it is part of the underground, and whoever has the spice in the underground seems to control that, and that is where they got the references to spice. But again, like they were saying here, we do know spice can be used in so many fashions, not just for drug, not just for medical, you know, the stem sticks or the death sticks, probably, you know, from Attack of the Clones, when Obi-Wan says, you know, tries to send that guy off on a different life. But we definitely, we are familiar. Again, they're treading in familiar areas. We see these things before. In fact, right here, if you see this spice mine, they actually base this off of, I'm going back to Solo. Remember when they had to go in and try, and that's where Han and Chewie and Lando and Kira all went down to get more, to get the more of that spice or that ingredient. I can't remember the name of it. Sorry, it's been a couple months since I've seen it. But where they go down there to, and they go and free a couple of the Wookiees, they go to free the droids. This is spice mine is very similar and actually designed after that. So again, there's that familiarity to it, that you guys have seen this before. And they talk about the slavery fact in here that, yeah, the Republic would shut it down. But if you guys remember, who's running the Republic right now is the Emperor. And once he becomes full Emperor, he actually legalizes slavery. There was mention of slavery back during the episode 1 with Phantom Menace, when Padme meets Anakin and his mother, and she talks about, I thought slavery was outlawed. So there's this darker side of the universe that we're now finally seeing. I know I've mentioned this before, but that's the point of the level 1313 and the underworld is we're now seeing the real people. We're not seeing the pretty side of the universe. And I think probably one of my favorite parts of that, I know it's not what we wanted, but from Solo the movie, the Kessel Run, that cloud, that nebula, it was just so amazing and visually stunning when they're looking down and you see this massive Star Destroyer just barreling down to them. I thought it was like one of the probably most stunning moments of that movie. I know I have my issues with it too, folks, so don't start yelling at me. But yeah, I have my issues with the actual meaning of what they did for the Kessel Run. But I think this did, I thought the visual side of it was really great. And this is Rafa trying to control the situation again. We've seen this type of character before. She's gotten herself into trouble, and she's trying to get her sister and somebody else to help her get out of it, not thinking of themselves or not thinking of them. So they're just primarily just thinking of getting themselves out of that situation. Very similar to Solo. This is a very heavy, and you've already heard it already, but yeah, this is a very heavy Solo-esque In the world of Solo, not just Solo the movie, but Han Solo himself, when he talks to Leia about the things he's done and the type of person he is, and the things he has to pay off because he's done wrong, and we see that, and we also see another nod that when Han says the job is after him, or when he was talking to Greedo, and he's like, well, sometimes we get bored, and sometimes we have to dump our cargo. Well, we just saw a cargo getting dumped, so. This just direct line to Solo. And the Pikes, if nobody remembers the Pikes, we have seen the Pike Syndicate before. We did see them in the Clone Wars earlier on. We also saw them again in Solo. They're one of the gangs that they're trying to goodness, I'm trying to remember his name now. Shoot, just drew a whole blank on that one. The one that Kira's working for. Now, the Pikes are also part of the Shadow Collective. And if nobody's familiar with the Shadow Collective, they are the crime syndicate that Maul is part of. And so this is a big tie-in because right now Maul is the main guy in the underworld. He's battling with the Hutts. We see a lot of that happening now. We saw some of it in the Clone Wars. There's actually a comic book series or a small mini series. I think it's only four books that came out, and it was The Son of Dathomir. And that sort of follows Maul being the head of the crime syndicate and also him trying to battle it out with Dooku and the Emperor. Or Darth Sidious at the time, they are trying to battle it out for power because the last time we saw Maul in the Clone Wars, he was captured and he was defeated by Sidious. So what we pick up in that comic book is him in prison, Dooku putting him through the paces and interrogating, trying to get some more information. Now, these are the Pike Syndicates. These folks are, again, like I said, we've seen them before. They are, again, also in that Son of Dathomir. And as I was saying with the Son of Dathomir, sorry, I got off topic there. With the Son of Dathomir, Maul gets set free by Mother Townsend, or Talzin, and she gets puts him on a mission to try to bring the Emperor and Dooku to their homeworld so that she can take her revenge on them and put Maul in charge. And this is where we'll see during that book, you'll see the Pikes, you'll see a few other characters that we've seen in the past as part of Maul's army. Great book, guys. If you really want more information about Maul and kind of where he was during this time, because we're going to see him here shortly, and I have a feeling the way this story ends is what's going to draw him out to try to confront them, and I think that's when Ahsoka and Maul are going to have one of their conflicts. It won't be their final, but it is definitely one of their conflicts. And what we also notice on this one is we see the Jedi mind trick only works for a certain amount of time. She was able to make it take effect on one person, but not the others. And again, I have got to tell you, I think the technology and the quality of the animation has just like stepped up tremendously. Just for certain moments, I'm just amazed. My jaw just drops at the quality of this animation nowadays. And there we go. We are left with a cliffhanger, which is really cool. We've been left with some cliffhangers, but this one was really good. I mean, it's, you know, guns are drawn, they're stuck, they're trapped, we don't know what's going on. There's been a few, like the Bad Batch, they were just trapped in a room. There was something more on edge with this one. So, again, episode 6 of the Clone Wars Season 7 is done. I believe this run is 3 or 4 episodes, and then after that we go into the battle for Mandalore, which is referenced all over the place in Star Wars lore. We hear about it in The Mandalorian, if nobody's been watching The Mandalorian or has seen The Mandalorian. And hopefully with rumors, we may see some more of Ahsoka in The Mandalorian. We're hoping to see a lot more of the characters, because the first season of Mandalore was great. It built the world a little bit more, showed us what his world is like, built the characters. But now I think it's time for them to step their foots into the actual universe, and let's start seeing some of the old faces. I think will be great. That part of Ahsoka coming back, I'm still kind of iffy on it. It's one of those areas I'm like, I love that character. A lot of people love that character. She is one of the original, you know, one of the truly original ones that wasn't so, I mean, I believe she was part of George Lucas's creations, but, Dave Filoni has just like molded her and turned her into this amazing character. And I just don't want to see a live action version of her that would ruin her. I would love to see a live action one that's going to elevate her. I'm just a little bit on the fence on that one, but that is just how I feel about it. But if you guys have your own opinion about it, please check us out on Heroes Asylum Facebook page. You can find us out there. And again, heroesasylum.com. You can hear our regular weekly show on Heroes Asylum, where we break down movies, news, comic books, just all sorts of different subjects. We also have a midnight movie series going on right now with the Infinity Saga, and it's our choice for the Infinity, what we consider the best 12 for the Infinity Saga to tell the story. If we had 12 movies to say, these are the 12 you need to watch to understand the Infinity Saga, These are the ones. We're also doing a movie watch along for other movies outside of our genre, doing like, you know, comedies and action and westerns and gangster. So we've got that going on. And we're going to have a bonus episode this month, or we're going to be doing a watch along for Batman versus Superman. And it sounds like we might have some guests. So make sure you guys check that out. Again, my name is Captain Mike. I'm glad you guys were able to join me, and we will see you next week for episode seven of season 7 of the Clone Wars. And in true fashion, get to the asylum.